Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quality Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session for analysts only, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by the number one on your telephone. Please note that today's conference is being recorded, Tuesday the 16th of October, 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Paul Flynn, CEO and Managing Director. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody, and thanks for making the time to join us for our first quarter for FY19, the September production quarter. As usual, I'm joined by my colleagues, Jamie Frankham, Kevin Ball, Ben McAleese, and we'll go through the highlights and then move on to the physicals shortly. So first, on the front of our quarterly release, the highlights, safety has continued to be a strong performance, which is positive for us for this quarter. One of the key highlights, obviously, of this quarter was really moving through the longwall change out at Narrabri, which we did successfully, and recommenced production in mid-month of September, which we'll talk to shortly. The ramp-up is proceeding well, as in addition to that, which is positive to see. September quarter ROM production at 3.6 million tonnes, reflecting that change-out-related backdrop. Obviously, we're missing quite a few tonnes by having a full change-out in this current quarter. Managed coal sales, coal saleable production at 4 million tonnes. Our coal sales for the quarter at 4.9 million tonnes reflected that drawdown of what was large stocks that we brought into this first quarter of the large last quarter for FY18. During the course of the quarter, we did, as you know, lodge the EIS for the Vickery Extension project, which was very good, and it's currently on public exhibition. Winchester South is moving along with the appointment of a project director, and a small technical team has been on the ground. And of course, we did declare our 27 cents dividend as a product of the final for FY18, and which was paid out during the course of this quarter. Over the page to our physicals, as I said, 3.6 million tonnes versus 5.7, some 37% down coal industry average. But we do acknowledge there's more work to be done here. Our overall objective is to improve year on year. And we know that some others in the industry show us that further reductions can be achieved, so we're continuing to push hard in that direction. The production commentary just for this quarter, I thought we'd just explain that just a little bit. As you know, we've had in the last quarter of last year, we certainly had some delays in moving into the change-out period from longwall panel 7 to panel 8, and so that, as I said, that entire change-out featured now within this past quarter, the September quarter. So during that period of less production out of Narrabri of last year, we were oriented to drive the open-cut mines to produce more to compensate for those lower tonnes out of Narrabri, which will be reset during the course of this and the next quarter. We do reiterate our full-year guidance for our saleable coal production for FY19 of a range of 22 to 23 million tonnes on a managed basis for the full year. To sales and pricing, equity coal sales, including our purchased coal for September quarter at 4.1 million tonnes, was 14% down on the previous corresponding period. And our managed coal sales, including purchased coal, 4.9 million tonnes, is 20% down on that time. The September quarterly average prices, which are a matter of record now, you've got the hard coke at 188, low vol PCI at 137, irrelevant to us, the semi-soft at 129 for the quarter. Our settled prices on our met coal products in total was US 128 for the quarter, which was a pretty good outcome. On the thermal side of things, obviously with significant growth activity in many of our markets, pricing for thermal coal has been strong. At $117 average for the quarter, that has certainly been a very good result. And across all our coal, our thermal coal sales, we've achieved $113, which is a pretty good outcome. Maules continues to achieve its very positive premiums over the GC average for the month. 9% being the outcome for this quarter, and given the distortion between GC Nuke and lower rank coals, I think the 113 versus the 117 outcome is actually a very good result during this period. that we provide that table as we have been accustomed to doing now, so you can see the quarter-on-quarter comparisons between relevant prices for the quarter and our achieved outcomes. At Maules, over at down the bottom of our page here, full-year production guidance at 11.8 to 12.2 is reaffirmed. Coal production at 2.26 is down 30% from the previous corresponding period. There is a little bit of rebalancing going on at Maules given the hard drive that we had in the last quarter to cover some of that deficiency out of Narrabri. So there is a bit of rebalancing going on in this quarter and the next. And so we'll see that normalised during the course of this next quarter. Metallurgical coal sales at was about 600,000 tonnes, production 600,000 tonnes, which is 31% of the total saleable production for the mine, which is the sales themselves on a managed basis were 326,000 tonnes for the quarter. As we've talked about before, and the same phenomenon seems to continue, albeit a feature of the market at present, we're not chasing the incremental spot-based semi-soft sale. And as you can see, even given with today's prices at GC Nuke level, plus those premiums that we cite at 9%, there's still not a lot of incentive for not just us, but the rest of our peers who produce semi-soft to go and chase those incremental sales. So for us, again, we're certainly continue to pursue JSM price contracts, but certainly spot sales of semi-soft is not something we're incentivised to do at the moment. Narrabri, as I say, not much of a story from a production perspective to talk to, but certainly the main feature of the outcomes we were looking for the quarter was obviously the timely and safe relocation of the longwall from 7 into 108, which has occurred. Production obviously was commensurately lower as a result at 550,000 tonnes, saleable coal production at 700,000 tonnes, sales at 875. The longwall recommenced in the third week of September, which was great, and has assumed a production profile consistent with where we'd like to see it, which is very, very positive to see. The secondary support regime that we've been putting in place and we've talked about, I know, over the last few quarters is certainly doing what it's achieved, what it's meant to achieve, which is positive, and roadway development metres, as you can see, there are 2,824 during the course of the quarter. Over to the Gunnedah operations, total ROM production at 800,000 tonnes, down 11% on the previous corresponding period. Both saleable coal production at 1.27 and 1.4 respectively was significantly higher than the ROM coal production as we continued to draw down stocks during this period, and that was a feature of the production, the ROM production outcomes versus saleable and then sales as well for each of the mines below Tarrawonga, Rockland, Werris and Sunnyside. Tara obviously produced 438,000 tonnes of ROM, but saleable and sales were both ahead of that at 521 and 547. Rockland, the same phenomenon again. I know you'll recall that we brought large stockpiles into this quarter at some 3 million tonnes of total stocks as at the 1st of July. And as we sought to draw those down during this quarter, you'll see the same phenomenon. Werris Creek at 167,000 tonnes of ROM production for the quarter versus saleable coal production and sales at 470 and 541,000 tonnes respectively. Key feature of the work that's going on, as you would have known, certainly publicly, is that, as I mentioned, the EIS for Vickery has been lodged and is now on exhibition, and that exhibition period closes on the 25th of October. The process going forward is somewhat new to us, given that there is the newly constituted IPC as opposed to the old PAC arrangements that many of you will be familiar with. So the process itself will go through some change, I believe, in terms of how this new IPC interacts with the Department of Planning and Environment, although we are very keen to hear that one of the underlying tenets, if you like, of this new process is that they are looking to achieve shorter approval timelines than what has been delivered in the past. So we very much welcome what that process outlines. But certainly by the end of this year, we are looking to have the first public hearing of the IPC of the project and look forward to how the balance of that approval pathway unfolds and is confirmed to us. Winchester South, as you know, has been an exciting addition to our development pipeline, and it's very pleasing that we've got a project director on the ground and a technical team. We have been on the ground there and doing a number of different pieces of work that are necessary and engaging with the various stakeholders, being those government, state government, local council, mayors, indigenous stakeholders as well, and a range of different on-the-site inspections have been going on as we speak. We are looking to convert the previous Rio-based resources that we published in the past into our own perspective on the resources for Winchester South Project, which we expect will be due for release shortly. From a coal outlook perspective, it is quite an interesting time. There's no doubt that with good growth around many of the jurisdictions or around the world uniformly, which is quite good, but certainly in our backyard, there has been solid demand for our product. We're seeing Chinese power generation up significantly year on year. We're seeing some coal supply sort of additions to seaborne trade, certainly out of Indonesia and some out of a little bit out of the US, but Indonesia being a main feature of that. Adding to what is obviously a strong demand environment, but importantly, what we're not seeing is any real supply additions at the higher end of the CV spectrum coming in to change the supply demand balance for quality coal. So that seems to be that certainly seems to be a feature of the market we're dealing with at the moment. Obviously, and talked about, I know a lot, is the difference between the 5500 market and the 6000. We certainly can see that there's more production in China going on at the 5500 level, obviously complemented by the Indonesian incremental production that we're seeing as well in the 5500. Certainly is adding to the weight, if you like, that on the pricing for the 5500 market. But as I say, at the 6000 level, there's certainly a paucity of new supply additions that are evident and very strong demand as some of the jurisdictions that we that we're exposed to are changing the nature of their quality requirements. I know we've talked about Taiwan in particular as a notable example of that, but Korea also more recently bringing in further requirements, and that certainly is driving further strength, if you like, in the 6,000 market. I do note that even with this, our commentary before about not just us but our peers not chasing semi-soft incremental sales, that we know that people are like we are, moving some of that coal into the thermal market, but even given that, obviously the premium end of the thermal market has held up very well. And from where we stand here, the outlook looks quite solid. And with little in the way of supply, new supply coming on that we can see that would disrupt that that supply demand balance that we see. We are expecting, of course, in this period being the shoulder period, there certainly is ordinarily some softness in pricing here, but I think even that softness that we've seen in the more recent week or so is quite subdued, and so the outlook looks very solid leading into, you know, our summer, but obviously their winter, which is going to drive continued support for decent pricing. So that pretty much wraps up our quarter for our first quarter for the year. Say that production has been lower than the previous corresponding quarter, but as I say, a bit of rebalancing here, and obviously the main driver of that lower production being the fact that Narrabri had a full change out during this quarter. Good to see it back in production again and moving forward at a rate which we would expect it to do in these past 3-4 weeks that it's been operating. So very positive in that regard. So with that, I'll hand it over to the operator and we can start the questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Again, that is 01. Your first question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. A couple of ones on the market. Fascinating pricing in the market over the last quarter or so, and I just want to ask you about that. But firstly, the level of stock, you talked about that 3 million tonnes and the drawdown during the quarter. Are you now back at normal, and what is that level? Or should we expect more drawdown of stocks over the next quarter?
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, pricing has been very good, as you say. 117, as you can see, that if you go back to our table, and I'm sure you've got that table over a series of quarters now. So 117.51, certainly a good outcome, certainly the best that we've seen in those four quarters that are outlined for you, and the 113 that we've achieved, given that distortion between the 5500 and the 6000 being a good result. I mean, much talked about as we know and as you know, the 5500 market, but despite that, our end of the quality spectrum is very well supported. The drawdown in stocks Peter, is was obviously a feature. We did bring a lot of stocks in to the year, as we did last year. So we do want to draw those down. Now, I don't think we need to draw them down too much further than that, but it is a function of having, as we've had over the last few years, you know, a heavier second half than our first, and as a result, you do tend to build a few stocks in there. We do have the added conundrum, as some of you would have noted in discussions before, where our particularly as it relates to, say, Gunnedah Ops, say, for instance, where we've got trucking limits which are struck total movements on a calendar basis as opposed to a financial year basis. And that's added to things like, as I say, Werris Creek, where we do hit those deeper seams with the thicker seams, which produce more coal, say, for instance, you know, at the latter, as the sequencing occurs, in the latter part of the financial year. And so this is just part of having a portfolio of mines, and yeah, we do see that there's some variations time to time, but I think as we've seen over the last couple of years in particular, the first half has been a little bit lighter, the second half has been a bit heavier, and this year is going to be no different in that regard.
Well, back to the mix, that mix at 17% for the quarter, it's obviously lowest in the last couple of quarters. Thinking ahead with the pricing where it is, should we think about that ratio being below 20 for some time until the pricing reverts to whatever normal is? And then in that context, the comment you made about met coal sales at Maules Creek versus met coal production, is that reflecting that pricing in the market and you withholding those incremental tonnes?
No, just your last part first. No, that's just timing. That's just timing in terms of when deliveries are. So out of Maules in particular, that commentary is. But overall, I would have said, I think at this point in time, unless there is some material change in semi-soft pricing relative to thermal, and as I say, at the moment, we're doing very well out of a thermal price market that's delivering us a very solid outcome, given the, this is completely a bypass type arrangement, achieving that 9% premium. Look, I think this is the trajectory I think we'll see ourselves with the balance of this year. I don't see it changing too much unless, of course, something alters, but I don't see any drivers for that change as it currently stands. The hard coke price has held up quite nicely, as you can see, and as we've commented and discussed, you know, voluminously through these quarters over the last 12 months, you know, whilst that phenomenon exists, people driving hard with the steel production, obviously customers willing to pay the price for the, you know, that have been passed on them for the higher input costs of the higher hard coke component of their coke blend, semi-soft sales are subdued, and I think it'll continue to be that for this year.
So when you say this year, you mean fiscal year 19 or calendar year 18?
I'm talking fiscal year, yeah.
Okay. And in your experience or James' experience, how do you see this play out? Is it the semi-soft coal that goes into the thermal coal market that caps out that market and brings back the pricing relativities, or do you remember or recall how it plays out or typically plays out?
You're going to have to give someone else a turn here. Yeah, this is a cyclical business, and this goes through cycles as well. But, I mean, we have seen, like I say, uniform growth now starting across, you know, has emerged across the world, which is a positive thing to see, and that has certainly driven underlying demand for the hard coke. So the numbers that people would have predicted the hard coke to be at this point in time, you know, if you went back 12 months ago, certainly look different from what they're people achieving today. So look, it'll go in cycles, but this part of the cycle seems to be extending further. And whilst we're in this particular paradigm, you know, it's just not, as I say, there's no additional incentive for us to go and wash more coal to produce the semi-soft, unless of course they are for long-term, you know, blue ribbon customers that we've said we'll always do it for to make sure we can meet their needs.
Thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from the line of Lyndon Fagan from JP Morgan. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Paul, just on the production, can we just visit Narrabri? So I guess to get to your ROM guidance, we need about 2 million tonnes per quarter for the next three quarters. Should we be spreading that evenly, or is there anything else we need to be aware of? I mean, obviously this quarter has had a bit of a ramp up, but just wanted to make sure we kind of get the profile right for the next little while. That's the first one.
Yep. Okay, I'll deal with that one first, Linda. Thanks. Yeah, look, I think generally uniform. I mean, we have the faulted area to traverse, and which we've talked about ad nauseum. So that won't be in this next quarter, in this current quarter we're in now, in the December quarter. It'll be in the next. So there will, we have budgeted to wind that back because as we work our way through that faulted area, we derate our production expectations to be able to traverse that area safely. Having said that, that's compensated anyway for what is clear running on either side of that. And as I say, the most important things we're seeing here is that production volumes have ramped up quite nicely now that we're back into cutting. The roof is looking very good, and all the secondary support that we've put in place is doing what it's designed to do. So that, I think, if you split it across the next three, you'll be fine.
Okay, great. And then moving over to Maules, what does mine sequence recalibration sort of mean in terms of how long does that last? If we're trying to forecast Maules, I guess I wasn't aware of the mine sequencing recalibration and wasn't too sure how long it'd last.
Yeah, it's a temporary thing, Lyndon, and I'll give some answers here, but Jamie can give you some more colour. It's a temporary thing. Look, we took a fair bit of extra coal out of the pit in June. You know, Narrabri, as you know, was obviously short of its targets, lamentably. So the mine's slightly out of sequence in terms of coal produced versus overburden removed. It's a big pit, and so this quarter there's some work done just to reset that to make sure it balances in a more sustainable pattern. And you'll see that in this December quarter. So you'll see that right the ship, I think, from a Maules perspective, when you look at those two quarters together.
So again, do we split it evenly through the remaining three quarters, or have we got another sort of softer quarter ahead of us?
No, we'll be on budget by the end of December. So it's a one quarter impact, the September quarter. By end of December, we'll be back on budget, and then it'll be evenly distributed for the second half of the year.
Okay, so December quarter weaker than the two subsequent quarters is what you're saying?
No. Stronger. Didn't say that.
We've had a weak quarter in September, so to be back on budget by end of December, that's going to be a very strong quarter.
And okay.
Into the balance of the year, so the second 6 months, they'll be fairly evenly spread.
Okay, all right. And final question, just in terms of forecasting the lower CV thermal coal sales, sort of up around just under a quarter of the mix in the last two quarters, is it going to stay around those levels, or how do we think about sort of achieve pricing for thermal over the next 6 months, 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, Lyndon, look, that's a good question. If you look at back both June and September, they do look strangely familiar in terms of the splits. And that is because, essentially the key change in there is, as you know, we were going through a series of difficult circumstances in Narrabri in particular, during the last quarter of last year. So whenever we were dealing with those roof falls, you get the contamination of rock coming in. And when we talk about lower CV, we're talking non-GC nuke, if you like. And I know we've talked about this in a little bit more colour in the past. So, but when we say that, we mean in Narrabri's case, where you've experienced the quality drop-off associated with a roof fall, you end up being around the 5,800 mark. So it's certainly not 5,500, not by any measure. But you do end up suffering some quality degradation when those roof falls are ongoing. Now, that's obviously not a feature of the operations now, in fact, but it is a legacy of some coal sales that went out, which was including that type of coal, which we brought into the new year. I think we had some balance of 600,000 tonnes, I think, of Narrabri stocks that we brought into the year, and so you're seeing some of that trickle through into this now. So I expect this to back off. The percentage from the 22% you see now, I expect that to moderate because we're back into normal cutting in Narrabri. As I say, the roof's looking good, secondary support is doing its job, quality from Narrabri will resume the type of quality we normally expect out of it. Certainly doing that now.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Your next question comes from the line of James Garrett from Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Can I just ask, with Vickery, you said it's a new process that you're going through. I don't want to be negative, but just help me understand. What's the risk or what's the possibility, given that you've got public hearings and whatnot, that you come out of the process with a mine not approved even at 4.5 million tonnes, or is it the case completely that it's 4.5 or 10 million tonnes and various conditions might be attached to the approval that you expect?
Yeah, thanks, James. Yeah, look, it's a good question. Firstly, just let me say it's approved for 4.5, and regardless of what happens with the current application, it's always approved for 4.5, so you don't lose that. Now, obviously, that's not the our preferred approach to exploiting this deposit. Otherwise, we would have done it already. We think the extension project is vastly superior on many levels, and many of those levels are actually aspects that go to a better approval from a community perspective, from an environmental perspective, from every which way you look at it. It's superior in our view to the 4.5. Even as I say, we won't lose the 4.5 approval. We'll always have that. But there is a new process here to navigate. The express desire is to truncate the approval timelines that the DPE has been performing to with previous approvals. So in the case of Maules, say, for instance, as our most recent experience, you know, you're talking some 1,300 days before you actually, and this is in the approval process, not all the work that goes associated with actually, before you actually lodge an EIS. And so the government's stated objective here is to get to 500 days. And so in aligning what was the old PAC process with the new IPC, I do believe there'll probably be one, maybe even two potentially, public hearings that are in addition to what you otherwise saw in the past. I think that's probably a good thing, I think, in terms of community consultation. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about in that regard. The constitution of the IPC, to our eyes at least, you know, looks good. It's led by a very credible person who's of a scientific background, and so I think there'll be a lot of rigour applied to that process, which is good. Former chief scientist of New South Wales is leading that, which is great. So look, I think whilst there is some process uncertainty with this new process yet to be fully outlined for us, all the things that we're hearing so far from a process perspective seem reasonable. And again, with the underlying objective here of actually turning these things around in a more timely fashion than what, you know, approval times have drifted on to become over the last few years. So, you know, I think it's probably a positive development in the end, the way it's going.
Look forward to the outcome. While we're on the topic then, can you contrast that with Queensland? And you seem to be indicating here that there might be some hope to bring forward. I know you've only got hold of the project in June, but I think previously you might have outlined a 5-year sort of horizon in terms of approvals and development and getting to first production, everything going well. Can you just contrast that?
Yep. Yeah, look, James, there certainly is a contrast. So you're right to point that out because we feel it and have expressed our appreciation for it. Certainly the Queensland State has been very welcoming of Whitehaven's acquisition of Winchester South. It's clear to us that they see this as a very good deposit, the government that is, and want it developed. And so obviously that doesn't mean you're going to get an approval, but it does mean that the underlying desire here is actually to see that that deposit, which has sat in the ground for a long time, developed. And so we're keen to work with the government. The government's talking to us about various ways that the project can be treated in terms of corridors that you use, if you like, through the approvals process. So we're exploring the pros and cons of each of those alternatives at the moment. Obviously with the objective of bringing it on as quickly as we can. 5 years, as you mentioned, certainly is reasonable. I think it can be done earlier than that. But as we mentioned in the quarterly here, we're obviously going through all the data that we've inherited now from Rio. And there's lots of information there, and they've done a hell of a lot of work. A lot of it's quite dated, so our immediate focus is actually to get on the ground and validate some of this data for ourselves, which started the process of last week, in fact. But we'll cut the resources again, consistent with our view of the deposit. And I'd be really pleased if we could shorten up that timeline to development quickly, given that you can see that we're in decent financial shape and can fund the development of Vickery and Winchester South.
Yeah. Okay, that's all for me. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Glenn Locock from UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Paul. Just two questions. Firstly, Maules Creek. I don't quite understand the commentary around the June quarter, the September quarter and the June quarter where you pushed it hard. I mean, you pushed it at 2.9 now for the March quarter, the June quarter. It was 2.8 back in June quarter of 17. So I'm not quite sure. It doesn't make sense when you say you pushed it hard and you had to back off. Because if I look at your guidance now, you're going to have to run at 13 million tonnes per annum for the next three quarters to make guidance for fiscal 19. And you're saying you can't run at 13 million tonne rate till fiscal 20. So I can't square the circle with the commentary on Maules Creek. And then the second question is just on your low CV sales. I understand the issue around Maules and it's not worth, you sell it as high energy thermal, and I understand the Narrabri issue, but your guidance is 15% for low CV for 19. Just if you could talk a little bit about, you said you've got the Narrabri is like a 5,800 when you've got the contamination. What's the remainder of your low CV, and how does that look from a pricing perspective? Because I noticed the 5,500 Newcastle price, according to Platts, is about mid-60s. So I'm just wondering where your price sits, your coal sits, and can you do a bit of blending to try and, maximise the price you get for it? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. And I'll try and get through that because you've asked a bunch of questions. It seems to be the theme today, three questions at once. June to September. Look, really, this is, for want of a better term, out of sequence from a strip ratio perspective, if I can call it that. Our ROM production for Maules for the quarter at 2.26, we certainly would have liked a little bit more, but there's an effort going on at the moment just to rebalance, where the team had fallen behind stripping in the June quarter, rebalancing that now in this current quarter. So that's what we're referring to in that sequence, and you're right. We do need a good, solid series of quarters, which we are currently experiencing already. I know we're only a couple of weeks in, but you can see the benefit of that rebalancing plan being put in place, and you'll see that in December, as I say, in the quarter. So as Jamie's highlighted, our view is that we'll be back to TORs where we need to be at the halfway point in the year, and you'll see that, and then you'll have an even spread over the last two. The low CV, which, as I say, other thermal as opposed to low CV, because it's 5,800. The chief contributors to that, as we've talked about to some degree, is obviously at Werris Creek, of course. Werris Creek doesn't produce a SCoTA spec outcome, not in its best day. We do strip out a little bit, as you know, there for PCI sales from time to time, but that's relatively modest volume out of there. So its entire production goes into the other CV bucket. And incremental to that, which has not really been visible in previous years because it hasn't been functioning, but now we've opened up Sunnyside again to complete the rehabilitation of that site, is going to see us extract some coal out of there, 400,000 to 500,000 tonnes during this year, which again is certainly low CV in nature. In fact, it will probably be our lowest calorific value coal production. But it's the purpose of that obviously is really a rehabilitation exercise. And at the prices you've just quoted, you actually make some money out of that, which is quite good. But that also will be classified into that basket as well. So I think it was might have been Lyndon's call or comment before. We do think that the low CV number will moderate for the balance of the three remaining quarters of the year. But yeah, we have had certainly, as I say, a bit more Narrabri 5500 material than what we wanted, but that's really just the drawdown of the balance of stocks that we brought into this year.
So Paul, can I just ask then, just to clarify, if you took the Werris Creek, which is, you know, pretty standard product as you say, where is it
yep.
pricing today versus where it historically prices, you know, relative to say GC Nuke?
I don't have the splits in front of me here on that, Glenn, but the price is actually better than where we've been in the past from an absolute tonnes perspective. The issue obviously is that the quality end of the spectrum has run hard, and so there's no doubt that rather than sort of a linear relationship from an energy basis that you would normally calculate when dropping down from the GC Nuke level into the Korean market and then relatedly into the 5500 market, clearly the linear relationship is that you would have seen in the past is quite different. So with that 107 versus what you say 66, if you're dropping down into that market, that's quite a gap, and proportionately that's quite a big difference relative to what we've seen in the past.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of James Redfern from Merrill Lynch. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Paul. Good morning. I was going to ask about Moores Creek, but we've covered off on that. So maybe just a quick comment, please, on the Gunnedah open cast, just in terms of why Tarawonga, Rocklin and Werris Creek all declined year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter. Thank you.
Yep. Yep, okay, yeah, no problem. Look, Gunnedah really is, as I say, there are some features there which are misaligned from a financial year reporting perspective, and the most obvious one for us is the trucking limits that apply to Tarawonga and Rocklin. So if you run hard, and they are on a calendar basis rather than the financial year basis, so if you run hard, you know, during the first half of the calendar year, say for instance, and you happen to exceed the 3.5 million tonnes, say for instance, trucking limit applied to the aggregate of both Tarawonga and Rocklin, then you've got to back off in the second half of the year, and there's a little bit of that going on. Werris Creek is a different issue. It's not constrained by that type of trucking arrangement because it's obviously got its own load point. But as I mentioned, as we know, we've talked about before, unfortunately, on an annual cycle, we certainly seem to get to the deeper seams, which yield a greater production of coal, the deeper seams being the thicker seams, in the second half of the year. In the second half of the financial year, sorry, just to be clear. So yeah, annoying as that is what it is, and you know, we just it's a portfolio benefit, I suppose, that we've got other mines whilst these other features are playing out. But those are the key factors that drive the Gunnedah ops.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes to the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Paul, on Winchester South, you talked about validating some of the extensive work of Rio. Does validation mean drilling holes, or does this mean getting on the ground and doing desktop work, or how extensive is the word validation?
Look, it's in the broader sense of the word. I don't think we need to go and disprove everything that Rio's done. Far from it. I mean, from what we can see and what we know from the work that they did on Maules, it looks like that. There's been a hell of a lot of work done, a lot of holes been sunk into it. But like Maules, a lot of that work was done, you know, a long time ago. And markets have changed quite substantially. And the demand for certain products has changed quite substantially. So our view is there will be some holes in the ground here, but generally the holes won't be about delineating the existence or otherwise of the coal. It's actually about the product quality and defining the split. And so there will be holes sunk in there, but our view is really just to form a view for ourselves as to what those splits of quality will be. Largely, there was a 25-25-25-25 split proposed by Rio in terms of the hard coke, semi-hard, semi-soft and thermal. So our view is that's something that's critical to the overall yield scenario in terms of how you want to play that blend. And you know, depending on where we land on that mix, you know, that will drive the yield outcome for the project, which is quite a key determinant in its economics. But so yeah, look, we're not seeking to question everything that Rio have done. I think that from the work we've done, a lot of it's been very extensive and very good. Happy with that. But you know, that was done a while ago, and as we learnt with Maules, people look at different deposits with different eyes. And Maules was looked at largely from a thermal perspective, but we know it's got obviously more and better quality of coal in there that the market welcomes as a semi-soft product. And I think that the same features will apply to Winchester South as well.
And look, back to Maules Creek, two questions. Are you selling or have you sold any washed coal into the thermal coal market?
Oh, sure. That's
not a... It gets washed.
No. So you've washed met and then sold it as thermal?
No.
No, there's no purpose in doing that.
No. Okay.
But
no,
if you've got a whole seam recovery and there's tops and bottoms you want to wash, you do wash it just to make sure that you maximise the recovery of the seam.
And just to flesh out Jamie's comments about what can be done in the December quarter and March and June, and to Glyn's comment about that 13 million tonne rate, you know, what is the site capacity today with the kit on site to do that? So is that 13 million tonne number achievable over part of that two quarters? Okay.
Well, if you look at the June quarter, we did 2.9, right? And that was with the equipment only recently inside. We weren't fully equipped at that stage either. So I mean, to run at that 13 million tonne rate, I guess we've achieved that, I guess, in shorter periods. But certainly we've got the equipment and strip ratio, I guess, to be able to do that for these next three quarters.
Okay, and just one on Narrabri, the support regime, Jamie. It sounds like you're getting on top of it, which is great. And that cost guidance you gave us last year, I just wanted to circle back to that. Is that still in place, that additional cost impost going forward? So although you've caught up, do we still assume there'll be a rolling cost for that rehab with additional support at Narrabri? Or have you sufficiently got on top of that, that drops out?
It'll drop out, but it won't drop out probably until post the end of this calendar year. I mean, we're still in the process of catching up, if you like, I guess, to get to the point where the steady-state regime will be less than what the, this interim requirement, I guess, to catch up has been. So, yes, it will be in place, but I expect in the start of 2019 calendar year, it will drop back some degree.
Because that long-term cost you gave last year, that's still in place, but it starts from once this big load's over.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to the speakers for any closing remarks.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to dial into the quarter. To the extent that there are further questions that any of you have, you know where to find us. Look forward to catching up over the next weeks and months. Thanks very much once again.
That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may all disconnect.
Thanks, operator.